Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hameen, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM 360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM 360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM 360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance. Now Joshua fought the battle of Jericho,
and the walls came tumbling down. Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invite you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Yes, that's what it's all about.
You know that we have a job to do. Something to you and you and you. Every man, woman, boy and girl got the job to remake the world. So get up, you mighty people, and play your role. This is Latif and Ahim. Assalamu alaikum and welcome to Tuesday morning programming right here on American Muslim 360. My name is William Kareem and the name of the show is The Stories of the Prophets or The Lives of the Prophets. Stories of the Prophets is actually a book that was written by Ibn Kathir. So last week we were talking about we've been on Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam for some time, because this is the last prophet in the chain of prophets. Prophet Muhammad is the last prophet in the chain of prophets, and it is said he's the last prophet. So, why Muhammad? Why gotta be a Muslim? Why gotta be Muhammad? Why he gotta be the last prophet? There are prophets that come after him. Now, there's no need for prophets to come after him because Allah is saying, my work is done. That's what Allah is saying. Basically, when when Muhammad became the last prophet, why? Well, because remember, all of the prophets that came before Muhammad ibn Abdullah were on the side of Isaac.
Okay, so Allah had to send prophets to the children of Israel, the Hebrews. He had to send them there because, you know, they were like, it was like they were the chosen people. And in choosing them, there were things that Allah wanted the human being to do, you know, that came under Abraham's son, Isaac, to Jacob, to all the rest of them, David, all of them, you know. And when they would go astray, you know, Allah would send the prophet to them, you know, to get them back. So Allah was experimenting with them. Let me see what this, remember, you know, of course the thing is that, you know, he made Adam, okay, and then he put Adam on the earth, and so then, you know, Adam is doing whatever he does, and in the process of Adam, you know, doing these things from the time of Adam to the time of Muhammad ibn Abdullah, the human being just continued to do the same thing, make the same mistakes, which was, you know, the set of idols, idol worship. It happened with Moses. Yeah, it was a big thing. Moses left his, listen, I'll be back. I got to go to the mountain. He went to the mountain. They wound up making the golden calf. Remember that? So the human being had this thing about idols, man. You know, I got to worship something I can see, as opposed to, you know, Allah being the God that cannot be seen. Allah, the God that created everything that can't be seen. It's like, yo, I can't believe in that. So just before Muhammad, Allah sending all these prophets to the children of Israel, basically, you know, trying to get them back on track, and they keep going off. And so when, you know, after a period of time, after Esau, you know, so Allah sends Esau, Jesus, and then, you know, he sends Jesus to the people of the book, to the Hebrews, who, you know, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, which were tribes, a couple of the tribes of Israel, and he sends them there, and, you know, they reject Jesus, and they're just like, yo, we're going to kill him, we're going to kill Jesus. As a matter of fact, the Quran says, and they said, we kill Jesus, the Christ. And the Quran says, and we kill Jesus the Christ. And in saying that, we kill Jesus the Christ. And the Quran says, no, they thought they killed him, but they killed him not. But most of them don't even know. They don't know. And so they bicker about it. Who bickers? The Muslims don't bicker about it. We shouldn't be bickering. But the Hebrews bicker, and those who follow Jesus bicker, because those who follow Jesus, they wind it up becoming followers of Jesus. And then when Allah said, yeah, and I will raise you to myself, and Ibn Kathir, it was said, I'm going to raise you to myself means, then, you know, I'm going to raise you, you know, heart, body, and soul. I'm going to raise you to myself. Now, brothers and sisters, you know, Ibn Kathir lived at a time. He lived at a time where they didn't have medical things going on. And there may not have been a good understanding of the sciences, you know, biology, but, you know, if Jesus was born of a man, if Jesus was born Mary, from Mary, and he had to eat, he had to sleep, he had to do all those things, then that means that he was a physical entity. And in being a physical entity cannot be raised heart, mind, body, spirit. I mean, you could believe that if you want, but maybe another way to believe that when Allah said, I will raise you to myself, may mean that I will raise you to myself by making Christianity a religion. Why would you say that, Brother Kareem? Well, take into consideration, there was only Hebrew. It was only the, and the Gentiles. There was no Christianity before Jesus. But when Allah raised it, when Allah raised the one who had been rejected, Jesus, when Allah raised the one who had been rejected to himself, now, today, we have Christianity. So whatever it was that the planners, plotters, and schemers among the people of the book, whatever it is that they tried to do, it didn't work. And Jesus became bigger than they wanted to. Then they still don't even admit it today. Okay, so that was the situation there. So then, what does Allah do? Then Allah says, "Well, look, now I'm gonna bring Muhammad. You know, I haven't seen enough from this human being. And look, I'm a student of the Quran. You know, I'm a student of Imam W. Dean Muhammad. I'm sharing with you some possibilities, and I'm sharing these possibilities on the basis of geographics and understanding the physical aspects of and the way that the human being has developed over a period of time. And so we do understand that that is what happened with Jesus. We understand that. So now Allah sends, you know, a messenger through Abraham's son, Ishmael. And that one that he sends through the loins of Ishmael is Prophet Muhammad. And what does he tell him? He tells him, read. And he says, well, I can't read. So it's obvious that Prophet Muhammad had an understanding that read meant like in a textbook. But that's not what Muhammad was being told. Muhammad was being told to read. He said, read. In the name of Allah, who created. So Muhammad comes to understand that Allah is saying, read in the name of Allah, with Allah's assistance, what I created. Read with my assistance, what I created. So he's telling him now to read the creation. And the human being can read because Allah made the human being a reader in heaven when he told him the nature and he taught him the nature of things in heaven. So from time of Adam to the time of Jesus, people were reading, but, you know, it's like, you know, like they were reading reading the creation in order for them to survive. So they wanted to create the wheel, fire, and they, you know, all those basic things. But when we got to Muhammad, he tells him to read what I created. He don't tell him just to read, you know, just go ahead and read the creation, you know, Muhammad. Just read the creation. He says, read, Allah says, read with my assistance. Read with my assistance what I created. So Allah introduces himself to Muhammad as a creator and as an artist. And that's the way that I have been studying Islam since 1993. I've been studying it along that basis. And, you know, today I've come to understand the historical idea that Muhammad is the last prophet because now Muhammad, you know, we see what the man had done. I did all that with them. Now I'm going to open up the ideas. I'm going to open up the ideas that are behind my creation to you. That's what you're going to get. And so I'm going to open it up. And so I'm going to tell you things like one of my favorite verses in Quran. Don't you see that the day goes into the night and the night goes into the day each seeking the other with rapid succession. Surah 7, verse 54. And the sun and moon are on courses exactly computed. So Allah is revealing the way that the creation works. But the Quran also tells us about the prophets that came before that he tried to bring the message to, and they just didn't listen. So here it is. This is the last, you're the last prophet, because, you know, now I'm revealing everything to you. I'm revealing the ideas that are behind the things that I created. So there's no one that needs to come after you. No one needs to come after you because, you know, like I have went and revealed, now I've revealed everything. Now you can grow and develop as a human creation to understand, you know, the workings behind my creation. And this is how, as a human society, societies will now begin to develop. So you know, that's that. That's what I wanted to say as far as that. I'm not going to take a telephone call yet. I'll take a telephone call a little later on. I'm not taking a telephone call right now, but I'll take one a little later on. But we want to get back to, I just wanted to say something about the last prophet, why Muhammad is the last prophet. He's the last prophet because, you know, now Allah reveals everything. You know, you can read the creation now. It's reading the Quran is one thing, but now you read the Quran because the Quran is telling you about the ideas that Allah created that's in creation. That's what the Quran is. So now, here it is. So we're back to the story. And when we were at the story, we were talking about how, last week, how Muhammad was being persecuted for preaching. He's being persecuted for preaching. And instead of fighting, he runs. His followers to Abyssinia. And the Abyssinian king protects them. And in protecting them, because he protected them, the followers of Muhammad are protected, and of course the followers of Muhammad are protected. You know, the plan of the Meccans, the Quraysh, fails. Okay, so you know when that fails, then the thing is they go, well, we can't kill them. We'll kill Muhammad then. And the reason why now they're saying they're going to kill Muhammad is because remember that Prophet Muhammad was protected by his uncle Abu Talib. So they would not, you know, they would not try to harm Muhammad. I'll harm everybody else but Muhammad, because Abu Talib is not protecting the members that follow Muhammad. They're just, he's just protecting Muhammad ibn Abdullah, his nephew. So when Muhammad ibn Abdullah, when Abu Talib dies, that's when, you know, they say, well, yo, we're gonna go after Muhammad. So we're gonna start at the Nagus, the king of Abyssinia, protects the Muslims. Now, after hearing the above speech, because the Muslims made the speech, the hospitable king ordered the deputy to return to their people in safety and not to interfere with their fugitives. Thus, the emigrants passed the period of exile in peace and comfort. And while the followers, of the prophet sought safety in foreign lands against the persecution of their people, he continued his warnings to the Quraysh. So he's still in Mecca, more strenuously than ever, preaching again then came to him with offers of riches and honor, which he firmly and utterly refused. But they mocked at him and urged him for miracles to prove his mission. He used to answer, Allah has not sent me to work wonders. He has sent me to preach to you. Period. Thus disclaiming all power. See, and they say this here because, remember, Jesus was one who was able to work miracles. So they say, oh, yo, you real? All right, then work a miracle for us. He said, Allah didn't send me to work miracles. Allah sent me to preach to you. Thus disclaiming all powers of wonder working, all right, which happened with Jesus. The prophets even rested the truth of his divine mission upon his wise teachings. He addressed himself to the inner conscious of man, to his common sense, and to his own better judgment. Remember that this is a poetic society. So the words of the Quran are reaching the inner conscious of human beings that are in Mecca through the Arabic language. Okay, because he's reciting the Arabic to them and it's entering their inner conscious, their common sense, and to the better judgment. So say, O Muhammad, this is Surah 41, verse 8. Say, O Muhammad, I am only a human being like you. It is inspired in me that your Lord is one Lord. Therefore, take the straight path to him with true faith and monotheism and obedience to him and seek forgiveness of him. And woe to the polytheists who believe in other things. Those who worship others along with Allah or set up rivals or partners to Allah. Surah 41, verse 6. So despite, but see, it is the beauty which the Arabic was given to these people, you know, the people of Mecca, that it touched their inner conscience. It made sense. It wasn't just that they was just talking about just anything. They wasn't talking about themselves like they do in hip-hop today. There's, you know, they talk about themselves and the cars that they have and all the rest of that, but they don't make poetry that talks about the creator of the heavens and earth, which is what I did when I was propagating. You know, I'm just giving a modern-day idea of the way that Muslims can deliver poetry and have delivered poetry, and I am a witness to that. And you are a witness to that, too, because you know that what I've done. Okay, so, but at that time, in the Arabic language, that was it. It was, you know, it was a poetic language. And so this message that Muhammad was bringing was very poetic, and it was inspirational. It made sense, and it struck the inner consciousness. So people were accepting it. And this is what made the Quraysh and the leaders of Mecca so uncomfortable. So despite all the exhortations of the prophet, the Quraysh persisted in asking him for a sign. They insisted that unless some sign be sent down to him from his Lord, they would not believe. So, you know, those are some, that's just how some people are. You know, you want me to believe, then you got to give me a sign, then I believe you. I hear the language, I just need an excuse not to believe in you. You know, the other prophet gave signs. Let me see you work a miracle. So the disbelievers used to ask, why has Muhammad not been sent with miracles like previous prophets? The prophet replied, because miracles have proved inadequate to convince. So he's going on the historical idea of Allah sending people with miracles. His previous predecessors before him. They would be like, the least of that, why has Muhammad not been sent with miracles like previous prophets? And the prophet replied, because miracles have proved inadequate to convince. And then he said, Noah was sent with signs and with no effect. Where were the lost tribes of Thamud? They had refused to receive the preaching of the prophet Salih unless he showed them a sign and caused a rock to bring forth a living camel. He did what they asked. In scorn, they cut the camel's feet, and they dared the prophet to fulfill his threats of judgment. were found, and they were found dead in their beds the next morning, stricken by the angel of the Lord. So the Muhammad was like, I don't need you. Then they said the Holy Quran is a miracle. There are some 17 places in the Quran in which the Prophet Muhammad is challenged to work aside, and he answered them all the same or similar effect. Allah has the power of working miracles. The creation is a miracle. It doesn't say that. I'm putting that in. Brothers and sisters, the creation is a miracle. The way that it works in a consistent manner. Study the creation. Read the signs of my creation. Read with my assistant what I created. There are some 17 places, well, I'll tell them again. There are 17 places in the Quran in which the Prophet Muhammad is challenged to work a sign, and he answered them all the same or similar pattern. Allah has the power of working miracles and has not been believed. There were greater miracles in nature than that which could be brought outside of it. That's what it says. That's what it says here in this book. Okay? There were greater miracles in nature than any which could be wrought outside of it. And the Quran itself was a great everlasting miracle. Why? Because it points you to the miracles of the creation. And it points you to the history of human beings that have denied the messages that the creator of Adam, okay, the creator of man, that he said to them, and how they could just continue. So the Quran, the prophet used to assert to the disbelievers, is a book of blessings, which is a warning for the whole world. It is a complete guidance and explains everything necessary. It is a reminder of what is imprinted on human nature and is free from any discrepancy and from error and falsehood. It is a book of true guidance and a light to all. And a light to all. So, and it's a light, let me see, a light to all. It's, see, and the idea is that the Quran has been translated into many languages. This is me talking. The Quran has been translated into many languages. And in the translation of the Quran to many languages, people have embraced it all over the world. Why? Because people are stupid. They just, people are stupid. They just go ahead and embrace stuff because they just cheat. No. People embrace the Quran all over the world. The same way that the people did, because it makes sense. There's a common sense in it. It points them to the miracles that are in creation that is in the place where they are, in Russia. They're miracles. They see the miracle of the sun when it says, don't you see the day goes into the night, and the night goes into the day, each seeking the other in rapid succession. Now, I just said it in English. It comes from Arabic, but people in Russia would understand it in Russia because they witnessed the sun just like the Meccans witnessed the sun and just like the Americans witnessed the sun or the Chinese witnessed the sun. Don't you see that the day goes into the night and the night goes into the day, each seeking the other with rapid succession? Oh, that makes sense. What comes after day? Night. What comes after night? Day. What comes after day? Night. What comes after night? Day. Each seeking the other in rapid succession. After day comes night. Night comes day. Day comes night. So it makes sense. So it doesn't matter what country that you're in. You know, the Quran saying that, the Quran saying that, people definitely relate to it. So that's why they accept it. And, you know, this is a book of blessing, which is a warning for the whole world. It is a complete guide that explains everything necessary It is a reminder of what is imprinted on human nature and is free from every discrepancy and from error and falsehood. It is a book of true guidance and a light to all. Doesn't matter the language. It's a light to all. As to the sacred idols, so much honored and esteemed by the pagan Arabs, the prophet openly recited. Now, remember, they had idols during that time. They still have idols today. They still have idols today. And these idols can be found in Christianity, Hebrewism, and Islam, that people give honor to things more than to the creator of the heavens and the earth. But in particular, you know, the Catholic Church, you know, like, you know, they have the idols of Mary and all the rest of that, you know. In Africa, you know, they still have idol worship that they do. And in many parts of the world that happens. So it says, as to the sacred idols, so much honored and esteemed by the pagan Arabs, the prophet openly recited, they are but names which you have named, you and your fathers, for which Allah has sent down no authority. Surah 53, verse 23. When the prophet thus spoke reproachfully of the sacred gods of the Quraysh, and this is the same thing, you speak against, you know, idol worshipers today. The latter redoubled their persecution. They'll redouble their persecution. But the prophet nevertheless continued his preaching undaunted, but the hostility of his enemies or by their bitter persecution of him. And despite all opposition and increased persecution, the new faith gained the ground. The national fair near Mecca attracted many desert Bedouins and trading citizens of distant towns. These listened to the teachings of the prophet, to his admonition, and to his denunciation of their sacred idols and of their superstitions. They carried back all that they had heard to their distant homes, and thus the advent of the prophet was made known to almost all parts of the peninsula. Not all parts of the world, but to the peninsula where these people came from. Okay? So it's like learning a hip-hop song. It's not a hip-hop song, brothers and sisters, but I'm saying to you, you know, just to give you some reference, that it's like you learn a hip-hop song and you take it to other parts of the country or other parts of the world, and you repeat it. So this is the message of Islam was so beautiful, and it made so much sense that the people that heard it, you know, they remembered it, and they had to remember it because they it wasn't written down, and they couldn't get a tape recording of it, so they had to remember it. They had to remember what was being said, and it was easy for human beings to embrace this message because it appealed to the human heart, and it appealed to the human mind. And it appealed to the creation which they were witness to. And it appealed to the ideas about the former prophets which they had some idea of. So there was an appeal that they could, it was an appeal that they could accept. And it was not, it was all good. It wasn't talking about, yeah, I'm going to get my guns, you know, and bow, 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 you know, and I'm going to do this and I'm going to sex your women out, you know. Which is like the message of hip-hop today. But it wasn't that. You know, it was a message that appealed to the best part of their heart for them to worship the one God, the one that created everything. And they accepted it. So the Meccans plead to Abu Talib to stop the prophet. Oh, here we go. So the Meccans, seeing that they, you know, they can't do it. The Meccans, however, were more than ever furious at the prophet's increasing preaching against their religion. They asked his uncle Abu Talib to stop him, but he could not do anything. as the prophet persisted, so as the prophet persisted in his ardent denunciation against their ungodliness and impiety, they turned him out from the Kaaba, where he used to sit and preach, and subsequently in a body to Abu Talib. They urged the venerable chief to prevent his nephew from abusing their gods any longer or uttering any ill words against their ancestors. They warned Abu Talib that if he would not do that, he would be excluded from the communion of his people and driven to side with Muhammad. The matter would then be settled by fight unless one of the parties were exterminated. So, Abu Talib neither wished to separate himself from his people nor forsake his nephew for the idolaters to revenge themselves upon. So he spoke to a prophet very softly and begged him to abandon his affair. To this suggestion, the prophet firmly replied, "O my uncle, if they place the sun in my right hand and the moon in my left hand to cause me to renounce my task, verily I would not desist therefrom until Allah made manifest his cause, or I persisted in, or I perished in the attempt." The prophet, overcome by the thought that his own uncle and protector was willing to desert him, turned to depart. But Abu Talib called him loudly to come back, and he came. He said, "Say whatever you please," he told him, "for by the Lord, I shall not desert you ever." Okay, you got that? You got that? Abu Talib went to his nephew and told his nephew, "Listen, I need you to stop so-and-so." My Prophet Muhammad said, "Listen, you put the sun in my right hand and moon in my left hand, you know, I'm not going to give up this thing." And everybody's heard about that. "You put the sun in my right hand, the moon in my left." This here is a story that has come down through the times, and it's a powerful story of conviction. And he said, "I will not renounce my task. Verily, I will not desist therefrom until Allah make manifest his cause, or I perish in the attempt." That's what he said. So the prophet, overcome by the thought that his uncle and protector was willing to desert him, turned to depart. But Abu Talib called him loudly to come back, and he said, "Say whatever you please, nephew, for by the Lord, I shall not desert you ever." You got that? Now, I believe that. Now, I was talking to somebody the other day about Abu Talib, and they said, you know, there's a hadith that says that Abu Talib is going to hell because he wasn't a believer. Now, I don't know, but I know that we say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, that with God's assistance, most gracious, most merciful. And here it is, if Abu Talib, if it was put on Abu Talib's heart that he had enough love for his nephew to tell him, "You listen, you say whatever it is that you please, for by the Lord, I shall not desert you." He went against the Meccans. Yeah, but he didn't say La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. Okay. But he said, he told his nephew, the Meccans tried to get the powerful Abu Talib to go against his nephew. And Abu Talib tried. He spoke to the prophet very slowly and begged him to abandon his affair. And to this suggestion, Prophet Muhammad replied, "You place the sun in my right hand and the moon in my left. it must have been a thing where Abu Talib saw the sense in it, or he saw the conviction that his nephew had. And so he said, say whatever you please, for by the Lord I shall not desert you ever. So continuing, Abu Talib protects his nephew, the prophet. The Quraysh again attempted in vain to cause Abu Talib to abandon his nephew. The venerable chief declared his intention to protect his nephew against any menace or violence. This is what he told the Meccans. He appealed to the sense of honor of the two families of the Bani Hashim and the Bani Mutalib, both families being kinsmen of the prophets, to protect their members from falling a victim to the hatred of rival parties. All the members of the two families nobly responded to appeal of Abu Talib, except, now listen to this, Abu Lahab, one of the prophet's uncles who took part with the persecutors. Oh, Lord. Man, the stories of the prophets. You see how these things are being put into context for us? Kazbad yada abi lahab bin watab ma'abna anhu malahu ma'wa kasab sayyislan avin gath alab wamra atahu amalat alhatab vijihi habalun bin masad. Do you see, don't you hear how poetic that is? Now that's in Arabic. That's in Arabic. Kazbad yada abi lahab bin watab. Ma'abna anhu malahu ma'wa kasab say islam avin that alab wamra atahu amalat alhatab vijihi habalun bin masad. You hear, perish the father of the flame, talking about his uncle, Abu Lahab, that would not support him. Powerful. This is some powerful stuff here. Whew, this is powerful. Let me see. So I'm going to continue, but I got to stop for a minute here because, you know, I do have a couple of telephone calls. So I have to take the telephone calls, you know, before we end the show. I'm going to go to 347-751. As-salamu alaykum. Your microphone is open. 347-751.
As-salamu alaykum.
Walaykum as-salam, my sister.
Alhamdulillah. This is Sister Mohassin Abdul Salam. Greetings to you and our listening audience. How are you doing this morning?
Alhamdulillah, to be allowed to mean Allah is most merciful to have allowed me to awake with such a wonderful spirit after drinking some coffee.
Yes, your spirit is very contagious, very connecting. It's been a beautiful listening experience so far with the information that you're imparting, your reflections, petitions, your analysis, very inspiring. I thank Allah for the spirit that you're sharing this morning.
Ameen.
Alhamdulillah. Two things really inspired me in what you were saying. Early on, you were talking about the concept of reading and just what that means, how it is that the interpretation of what is a miracle and what is not a miracle. And as a reading specialist, it occurred to me, it's like when you're teaching reading. Reading is an emerging capacity. That means we are hardwired within to read. And sometimes in school, we think of that on a what do we call it, mechanical type of thing. We study phonics or we study whole language. And these are different approaches to deciphering reading. In the Quran, the Iqra concept of reading, the Arabic word used in the Quran, is a perceptive status. in the mind created in the intellect of the human being. And it's a combination of interpretation, interpreting what you see, you know, being able to translate the physical, the visual, the symbolic message into something that's meaningful. And every human being is hardwired to do this. And you reminded me of the phenomenon of the angel Gabriel pressing the prophet. We think of many times when we hear that, we're thinking about a physical compression or a tactile situation. But pressing is to cause something to come out, something you all have within, but there needs to be enough pressure brought to bear on you that you will give it up, okay? And as I say in a reading specialist, when you watch preschool children learning how to read, you see them going through the effort of pressing themselves, right? Being under pressure, feeling a type of pressure. And the teacher repeats the process or repeats the mechanics of reading until the child, in their own mind, what happens is really a miracle because it computes with them together under pressure and they read. So as a preschool and kindergarten teacher,
you know what that reminds me of? You and I know, Sister Mahasan, that you can relate to this, especially when you start talking about the pressure that me, myself, you personally. I remember sitting near my father and having to spell the spelling words. And when I would get the spelling word wrong, he would hit me with a stick on my hand.
Mm.
You know, and that was the pressure. You know,
yes.
To get this thing right.
Yes.
I just remember that.
You reminded me of an experience that I had watching my older brother be instructed in reading by my mother. You know, many of my children suffer from what they call dyslexia. There are sometimes issues where the eyes misinterpret or confuse the positioning of letters, and it inhibits the child from reading and becoming fluent. And there are many technological remedies that
we don't want to go too far off of the course of, you know, what we're talking about. I mean, you know, because we could really go as far as this idea is concerned. Yeah, mm-hmm. Go ahead. Yeah.
Because one of the things that I appreciated in listening to you is you fully repeating the pattern of thinking that you were hoping your listeners would perceive. So I'm going to abbreviate some of what I'm saying. Thank you for that encouragement. So what I'm saying is that the pressure of the urgency, the urge, causes the capacity of reading to emerge from within. And you talk or demanding miracles. The prophet, the miracle had already occurred in the prophet's nature. That was that his nature was preserved. The fitra, the original design of the human nature, had been preserved in him. And they appreciated it. They complimented him all the time. They appreciated his capacities, right? But they didn't consider it quote unquote, a miracle. So then when Allah opened up and called him, commanding him to come forward with his purpose, they challenged him because they had a misperception of what a miracle really looked like. They couldn't see it. They couldn't read it. And even though he was right there, in their midst, live, you know, they could touch him being as a miracle. And of course, through him and his miraculous self came the miracle of the revelation of Quran.
I mean.
And they didn't have the capacity. So that was really beautiful. And the surah that I will give you this to, the last
that you
talked about, Al Nasr, إذا أجاء النصر الله وفتح ورأيتنا سيدخلون في إذن الله أفواجا فسبح بحمد ربك واستغفر إنه كان توابا. Oh, bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. When comes, that's what people are calling for now. When comes the help of Allah and victory? You know, tons of protests and movements going around the world because there's a collective human voice saying, when comes the help of Allah, God, and the victory? And you see people enter Allah's religion in crowds. There have been over 500 colleges and universities that have established protest movements on campus. Over 500.
Sister Lewis, let me say this here. That's another one of those verses. That's another surah that is so beautiful in the Arabic language. That I mean, can you imagine that, you know, somebody hearing that, those people at that time hearing that and how poetic it was, it's like, oh, I got to remember that. But Sister Mahasin, I got a couple of other calls, but this is what I want to invite you to come on our radio program at 10 a.m., A New Day Community Radio, and share with us, because you make some very profound thoughts, and we would appreciate, today is Tuesday, Tuesdays is for the sisters, and so we would appreciate it if you would come on our radio program, 515-605-9326 at 10 o'clock, and, you know, listen and then give some commentary, okay? I have a little more time also, you know, to let you, you know, go ahead and make a more complete ideas, all right?
Alhamdulillah. Inshallah. Please give me that number again so I can write it down quickly. Say it again.
Okay. 515.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. 515.
Mm-hmm.
605.
Mm-hmm.
9326.
9326. All right. Inshallah. Thank
yes.
you.
Thank you, sis. And I'm going to take another telephone call.
Please do. Please.
Thank
do.
You.
May Allah bless you.
Wa alaikum. Assalamu alaikum. All right. We're going to open up the telephone line to Afanala Williams, 727-741. Assalamu alaikum, my sister. Your microphone is open.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you so very, very much. And out there in this way, William, peace, God's peace be upon you and all the listeners. Miracle. It. Where I was last night in my sleep, I had no idea that I would be here looking at different things with my eyes open and my heart pounding and then listening. And one thing about listening, as I was listening to another presenter, and they said when we're reading Quran, our eyes are, you know, when we're reading anyway, our eyes are going on to the next word. We see the word, we're capturing it in our mind. That's a miracle, to take it in our mind. And then going, that means to follow. and I'll leave it right there, to be a good follower in order to, after we've conceptualized what we're reading, then we follow. So, alhamdulillah. As-salamu alaykum.
Yes. Wa alaykum as-salam, and thank you for sharing. That is so very true, because many of us read and don't follow. We just read. Oh, yeah, that was a good book. We're going to say 727-408. As-salamu alaykum. Your microphone is open.
Wa alaykum as-salam. Praise be to Allah. First of all, alhamdulillah, I like to say that I always view the host and the hostess in these programs as those foremost. And, so praise be to Allah. You know, when you were talking concerning Esau, the prophet Jesus, I went to, that error that in the Quran where Allah was bringing us, giving the revelation concerning that, right? So I was kind of like, I was checking, I just something I always do.
Right.
So I say to myself, praise be to Allah. And see your logic. The little key thing, you have a logic that brings you right into this world, you see. And that's what we have to do. Many of us are even shy away from the sound hadith because of the fact we can't deal with the logic. And Allah bless you. You can deal with it logically. So praise be to Allah. And also in reference to Abu Talib, right? He had called Abu Talib to all these Quraysh, these leaders, these different leaders. They called him there and say, look, you need to go, and we need for you to do something about your nephew. And so he left out. He went. And then when he came back, and just what you said, he said. And I could see at the last point that when Abu Talib was returning to Allah, one of them was there. I know it was Abu Sufyan. He was saying, he said, why did y'all have to treat him like this? He said, all he wanted y'all to say was one thing, that there is no God but one. And then I think Abu Sufyan, whoever his name was, he said that, yeah, but that would take away all our idols that we worship, that we get our monies from. So, but anyway, though, praise be to God. I just wanted to mention that, and the fact that Allah has blessed you to be able to be logic, do logically when you enter the Quran or you enter the Sirah, the life of the prophet, you can make those connections. So praise be to Allah. Thank you to you for your program, Brother Kareem. Kareem, all the programs.
Alhamdulillah. I thank you for that.
Alhamdulillah.
I just want you to know that I am a member of your community. I am a member of, I am a student of Imam W. Dean Muhammad. I want you to know that. That's the truth. I'm a student of Fahim Shuwayi, of our great imams, because I would not be able to understand what I understand.
Allahu Akbar.
For those who have gone before me. So I am thankful I'm at this point where, I can say something and it's connecting.
Yeah.
I'm part of the family.
You do it.
That's what you do with the family. That's the family. You know what I'm saying? So all praise is due to Allah. And I thank you very much for that, brother.
You're welcome, brother. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And so, unfortunately, we've come to the end of the program. And that was, and we talked about Abu Talib and, the surah on Abu Talib, that Tabat Yada Abi Lahab bin Lakab, and then Sister Mahasan. I mean, Sister Mahasan, she Ibaz Ya Nasrullahi Wafa Wa Ra'aintan Nas Yat Kaluna Bibini Lahi Hafwajna Tishabbi Bihamdi Rafika Wastafiru Inahu Kana Tawaba. I mean, it is so poetic. So when it touches the ear of the people, it's touching the ear in a poetic form. So it's attractive to the ear. But then on top of that, it makes sense. So the people hear the Arabic, and they hear the Arabic, and it makes sense. And it's like, ooh, I got to remember that. I got to remember that. That makes so much sense. Yeah, you know, these idol worships, I ain't saying nothing. This says something. So, so we're going to next week, we'll go on to during this period, Umar Abdul Khan accepts Islam, and we will go on. But I thank you so very much, brothers and sisters, for participating with me, you know, on A New Day for Al-Islam. On American Muslim 360 under the community-wide Shura Conference. And I invite you to come on at 10 o'clock with A New Day Community Radio, 515-605-9326. Tuesdays are dedicated to women. So we will talk about some issues that have to do with women. But what I have to do, I have to play a couple of PSAs for you. Okay? Well, here we go.
Assalamu alaikum. This is the Preacher Hadi, host of Al-Islam and Focus Learning Lab here on AM 360, inviting you to join me Saturday evening at our new time, 5 o'clock to 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, as we continue to share inspiring and thought-provoking Islamic education. Inshallah, I will see you in the lab at our new time, 5 to 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern, Saturday evening. Assalamu alaikum, and thank you kindly.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to AM 360. Join your host, Munira Habil, every Tuesday from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time as we explore relationship topics addressing what we didn't know, what we've learned, and what we need to know and why. Because on this show, it's all about courtship and marriage.
Let me see something. 347751. Who's that? Sister Mahasa, is that you?
Yes, that's me.
Yeah, so, all right, so you're good, right? Inshallah, we see you at 10, okay?
Thank you for the invitation. Yes, inshallah, I'll be there.
All right, assalamu alaikum. Okay, Sister Martha Nala Williams, assalamu alaikum. I opened up your microphone because I'm trying to. Is courtship and marriage coming on this afternoon on American Muslim 360? Okay, she's away from the microphone. I know that there's some programming that's going on. I have to find out what it is, and I'll get back to you. But in the meantime, I give you the greeting. Now, thank you again for participating in the lives of the stories of the prophets by Ibn Kathir. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.